Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
As advertised, as promoted, EJ Raddick, who to any fan listener at any time of the day, night, overnight, you name it, knows the voice, knows the expertise, knows the insight, and knows that I'm probably embarrassing him with this kind of introduction, but he deserves it. And I'll also add, we know what the EJ stands for, excellent journalism when it comes to hockey.
Oh, Steve, you're way too kind. Thank you very much.
Yes, and I thought you were going to say, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you repeat all of that? Here's what I...
I think once was enough for everybody.
I'm the only person that also goes overboard, but you really deserve... you don't deserve really... I mean, you are a guy that people know from you already who has listened to the fan for forevermore. Let me ask you this. You're an Icelander fan. You have to feel very good about your team and what they have done, making Toronto their home in the bubble. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
They've only lost one time. And they have been so dominant. I mean, they could take a 1-0 lead, and they look like it's 3-0 or 4-0. They're so good at protecting that kind of lead. And they do score right away and set a tone right away, getting contribution from everyone. Bottom line here is, with no fans in the stands per se, I know there are people in the Toronto bubble that are hanging around, but essentially no distractions at all. And I think Barry Trotz loves the fact that the team can play without the energy coming from a crowd, you know, whether it be on the home, whether it be home or on the road, especially home. But again, they have not really lost their focus at all, and you got to start with Barry Trotz.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think they have been extremely focused. Barry has done a wonderful job since he came over from Washington the last 2 years. The Islanders have played very well. They've played the game that Barry Trotz wants them to play. He inherited, Barry's done a great job, but he inherited some really good players that were ready to take a step up, like Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick. I mean, those are two young defensemen. I talk about them a lot because I don't think they get near enough attention nationally. Maybe Islander fans pay more attention and understand who they are, but they're the only two guys in game one against Philadelphia, for example, that played over 20 minutes in that game. And when Pellick got hurt early in the year or midway through the year, the Islanders fell off. So you could see how important a player like that is for the Islanders. But I think their focus has been terrific. They've been relatively healthy. Varlamov has been terrific. And you know what? The other thing, too, is, Steve, in this bubble, they've really embraced it. They've gone in there. I think they've bonded as a group. They had their ping pong tournaments, and they've done a lot of things kind of as a team within that bubble. So they've embraced this whole thing, and it shows in the way they're playing. And it's a good matchup for them against the Flyers. They beat the Flyers all three times in the regular season, and they get to jump on them here in the second round, and they'll go at it again tomorrow afternoon, and we'll see how it plays out.
And Philadelphia, even though they took care of Montreal in six games, they're having difficulty getting their top scorers to do any kind of scoring at all.
Yeah, it has been a struggle for the Flyers' top guys. I mean, Claude Giroux does not have a goal yet. James Van Riemsdyk has no points and was actually a healthy scratch in the last couple of games. A New Jersey native, I have a feeling he'll get back into the lineup in game two after they get shut out in game number one. Travis Konecny is a terrific young player. Seems like he's nursing a little bit of some kind of injury, but still he's out there and not the same player that he was early in the year. So you're absolutely right. The Flyers, top guns, so to speak, are struggling right now. And, you know, I think the Islanders are in a really good position here to jump out to a 2-0 series lead. But I would expect that Alain Vigneault will make some adjustments. And, you know, things can shift fast and momentum can turn quickly in these games. We've seen it a number of times. The Dallas Stars have had games where they were down and then they rallied and put up a bunch of goals. So, you know, maybe Philadelphia will find their way. But the Islanders are just hard to do that against because they don't give you much. They force you to play pretty much north-south hockey, straight-up hockey. And if you want to try to get cute and throw the puck through the middle of the ice like the Capitals and Panthers tried to do, they'll make you pay in transition.
And staying out of the penalty box, also very important.
Yeah, well, their penalty killing hasn't been very good, at least in the first two rounds in the qualifying round against the Panthers and then against the Capitals. That was the only area, Steve, where they were in trouble, is when they took penalties, they were having a hard time. Now, the Panthers and the Capitals both have pretty good power plays, so you don't want to put them in a position to beat you on the power play. But still, you know, that was an area that I'm sure Barry Trotz and company want to be better in, is the penalty-killing area. First point, don't take penalties, but if you do, happens in games. Some games there's a lot of penalties. Some games there's only a few. They've got to do a better job killing them.
And as you touch on, I don't think we're going to see Greiss anytime soon.
No, I don't think so either, because they had a back-to-back against Florida in the qualifying round when they were up 2-0. And that would have been a real opportunity to play Greiss right there, and they didn't. They stayed with Varlamov in that second of a back-to-back against Florida. They ended up losing that game. They closed out Florida in the next one. But Varlamov is rolling right now, 941 save percentage and back-to-back shutouts. So I assume that he will be their guy based on what they've done so far. But, you know, I do wonder, because at some point you may need Greiss, and he has not played in a long time. So we will see if Varlamov can just keep it rolling.
And I think it's also fair to say and accurate to say that the Islanders so far so good with all four lines contributing.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the line that has really, that I've noticed the most has been that, really, I guess as you would call it, their second line with Nelson, Beauvillier, and Bailey. Those guys have been terrific, and, you know, Beauvillier has really kind of taken another step in his development. He's a really athletic guy, and Josh Bailey has been around a long time, and I think that he's finally being appreciated a little bit more by Islander fans, and he's been someone that has been a really helpful player on that line with Brock Nelson. And then you've got Barzal on the first line. You've got those second, you know, the third and fourth lines, they're kind of interchangeable. And we know with Tsitsikas and Clutterbuck and, you know, Martin, and you have, you know, different guys on that other line. You have, you know, Johnson, the big guy, comes in and plays well. So they have a nice balance, Steve. They have nice slotting. Like when I'm looking at the board of how lines, you know, 1 through 4, you always like to see the slotting right. You don't want to see a guy who's like a third center being in that top role. You know, you want guys in those right slots where they belong. And the Islanders have their team pretty well slotted right now. And, you know, again, it's a good matchup for them against Philadelphia. We'll see if they can, you know, keep the ball rolling.
What has surprised you most of all about their play?
I think the consistency really has surprised me more than anything. I mean, I know that, they play a structured game, but I mean, they have been like a machine, Steve. I mean, this has been a pretty, you know, just right from puck drop, they get at their game, they get to their game, they play fast, they take away the middle of the ice, they force teams into mistakes. When they have a few breakdowns, Varlamov has been there. I mean, they've been in control, really, just about every game they've played so far. You know, even in the losses, they weren't that bad. So, you know, I think it's just been the consistency so far to get to their game. And different guys, as you mentioned, have have been part of it. J.G. Paggio, even though the guy I haven't mentioned, I thought that was a great acquisition, right, the trade deadline from the Ottawa Senators. I actually thought Jim Rutherford of the Pittsburgh Penguins should have went out and got J.G. Paggio about 18 months ago. They didn't make that move. The Islanders gave up some significant assets in terms of top picks to get him, but he's a great fit for what the Islanders do. Right shot centerman that can play in all situations of the game and can really help you in terms of, you know, checking in big moments and also trying to close games out. So, you know, I think it's the consistency right now that's been the biggest thing.
And, of course, you kind of touched on this already. You would say so far, I mean, so far, so, so very good. But you would say basically where they are a little bit vulnerable is with penalty killing?
Yes. Yeah, taking the taking too many penalties in games. I mean, all these games, you know, that's been, you know, and listen, Steve, you've been watching these games, as, you know, as long as I have, and the referees, one game you get two penalties, the next game you get 12 penalties. So the guys have to watch what the standard is on a particular night, and if the guys are calling the game tight and they're calling penalties, the Islanders just have to do a better job of just not creating a parade to the penalty box. They had a 2-0 lead against the Capitals in a closeout game 4 and started taking penalties, and the Capitals were able to get back in that game and eventually win that game. In the game against the Florida Panthers, where the Panthers were able to beat the Islanders in that game 3, they staved off elimination in much the same manner, with the Islanders taking penalties and then not being able to kill them. So, you know, that's the area that I would be most concerned with. Don't give your opponent as few opportunities as you can on the penalty kill, and certainly I think they're probably working at that, you know, in the video room and in practice when they can, just trying to be better on the penalty kill.
You grew up as an Islander fan, and you are a professional with the hockey, and so you have to feel good personally, and also, I mean, you are watching, well, you know that I'm trying to do this in a serious vein.
I know.
but the bottom line is, let's say they get by Philadelphia, and they should. I think they are overall a better team. And now, unless Philadelphia wakes up in a number of areas and makes the kind of adjustments that you were talking about a little earlier, I mean, the Islanders should advance. What am I getting ahead of myself? And I guess I am by asking you, what would be a more difficult matchup for the Islanders if of course you want Boston and Tampa to go as long as possible. You sweep Philadelphia, you got a little time to rest. What would be between Boston and Tampa the more difficult matchup for your team?
Well, I think the more difficult matchup for the Islanders would be the Bruins, because over the last several years, you go back, the Bruins, you know, have had the Islanders' number in a number of meetings. I don't know the exact figures, but the Bruins can play a similar structured type game, and they can beat the Islanders at it. So it puts the Islanders in a little bit of a different circumstance. A lot of times you get good, really low-scoring type games, but the Bruins have found ways to win those type of games. Tampa has got, I think, a few holes on defense. McDonough's hurt now. I know that probably still bothers you, seeing that McDonough, former Ranger, probably very close to your heart, but he's out of the lineup now tonight. Tampa was able to win. Mm-hmm. But I would probably say, you know, neither is a great matchup because they're both good teams, but probably Tampa, just because they've got a few injuries and they're a little bit more susceptible on the back end, although they have a terrific goaltender in Vasilevsky, who maybe the best goalie in hockey right now. So, you know, that's the kind of yin and yang. The Bruins, I think, have a more structured group, but right now, with Jaro Halak in goal, as opposed to Tuukka Rask, who has left the bubble, the Bruins, they're a little vulnerable there.
With the New York Yankees, EJ, we always, most Yankee fans, the Yankee organization, they expect to win every single season. They don't, and they haven't in a while, but that is their goal every year. And even Aaron Judge has said, well, if we don't get to the World Series and win it, it is going to be a failure, which is very strong language for even getting to the World Series. If the Islanders get to play either Tampa or Boston and they don't succeed, would you consider the season a failure?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that you could consider it a failure. I mean, they moved on another step. I mean, last year they were swept in the second round of the playoffs by the Carolina Hurricanes. If they were to beat Philadelphia and move to the conference final and lose to either Boston or Tampa, I mean, always dependent upon how the games go. I mean, if they would just fall apart and play terrible, it would be disappointing, I would imagine. But I think they seem to be moving in the right direction right now. Again, they've got some really good young players that are going to be there for quite a while. They got the new building going up at Belmont that's going to be a permanent home for them. So it seems like things are moving in the right direction for them right now. But they're in a, you know, like I said, This is a real unique circumstance, and the fact that these guys have bonded so well and have really embraced this opportunity, you know, I think you can't undersell that right now, because I'm sure for a lot of different groups and a lot of different players, they were fraught with a lot of different feelings about going into this bubble, being away from their families, and being in this process. So the Islanders have embraced it, and it's shown with the way they've played.
So, take that, John Tavares.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't win them all, John.
In his jammies right now.
Yes, probably getting a good night's sleep.
Yes, of course. Let me ask you, were you surprised, and I'll get to Lafreniere in a second on your take on him, but were you surprised? We were, and again, I'm trying to be as objective as possible because I thought the Rangers would take care of Carolina. They were so dominated right from the get-go. A couple things about that very quick three-game series. First of all, what does it mean when, of course, Shesterkin could not play, unfit to play? Why are we hearing something like that instead of hearing that he might be injured? Why is it that the words that come out from the league and or the team is unfit to play? We saw Lundqvist in Game 1. We saw Lundqvist in Game 2. And then we saw Shesterkin in game number 3. What was a little bit odd to you about this?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, when it comes to the unfit to play, that has been something that the league and the Players Association settled on in their return to play. Because I think there was a concern about discussing the health issues of any of the players. And so the idea was, we are just not going to really disclose any injuries or illnesses. And that was agreed upon by the Players Association and by the league. So that's why you're seeing this term deemed unfit to play. For the most part, that means, I think, I have taken it to mean the player has some sort of injury. There have been no positive tests to date in either bubble in either Edmonton or Toronto. So the player being unfit to play isn't ill. If a player is a healthy scratch, I think we find out if a player is scratched. So unfit to play to me is that the player has some sort of injury that he can't play. I would imagine Shesterkin probably tweaked something in that one exhibition game they played prior to the Rangers opening the qualifying round. They played the Islanders. He played half the game. He either tweaked something during that or in the run-up to that Saturday noon game against the Carolina Hurricanes. So that's what happened there. Lundqvist stepped in and played. I thought that was the right choice under the circumstances. I thought that Henrik Lundqvist played okay in those games. I thought the Carolina Hurricanes were just flat out better. And it exposed some of the Rangers, areas where they need improvement. And you play in the regular season, they had success against Carolina. You know, you play Carolina this night, you're playing this team the next night, they're bouncing around. There isn't as much focus on your opponent and video work and study put into it that you have in a series. I think, you know, Carolina knew what they were dealing with the Rangers. They had a healthy respect for them based on those regular season games. They went to the conference finals last year. I just think they were a deeper group at this time than the Rangers. And they went out and things went their way. And the Rangers kind of had some ups and downs. And like I said, Foss got hurt early on the first shift, so he wasn't a factor. Yes. There's some inexperienced guys there that were getting something out of being in that circumstance for the first time. So I think it showed there's some areas the Rangers need to continue to work on, but it just showed me they're way ahead of schedule. to be where they are right now. And, you know, they're going to continue to be fun to watch.
Yeah, with Shesterkin watching from the stands, Lundqvist giving up in that game one a goal 1 minute into the game. And then you're talking about with Brady Shea, the former Ranger, knocking out Jesper Faust. And the tone was set because they so dominated. What do you think is going to be with Lundqvist?
Well, I don't see Henrik Lundqvist being a part of the Rangers next year. I think with a flat salary cap, Steve, I think that they're going to have to figure something out there. Either, you know, Henrik could decide to retire, maybe go over to Sweden and play with his brother. From what I understand, he was willing to accept some kind of trade. At the trade deadline, for whatever reason, nothing could be worked out. So if he's still open to that, if there are suitors for him, you know, perhaps that's something that happens as well. But I'm hard-pressed to think the Rangers can move forward next year with having Henrik Lundqvist $8.5 million against the salary cap. They're paying him in physical dollars less, because that's the way his contract is structured, but it is the 8.5 against the cap. I think they want to probably do some other things with their roster. So that will be a tricky one, though, because I don't think the Rangers want to be in a position where they have to buy Henrik Lundqvist out, but I think it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think there'll be a lot of discussions back and forth. And, you know, for me, it's been a pleasure to watch Henrik Lundqvist play throughout his career. I think he's got some hockey left in him if he wants to pursue it. And I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope it works out for both parties, because, you know, these things are really tough for both, you know, a great athlete who's been part of a franchise and a city for so long, and for, you know, for the team, which is ready to move on because they have someone that is pretty spectacular young player in Shesterkin. So we'll see how it plays out. But for me, Steve, I just don't see Henrik being back with the Rangers.
An Icelander fan like yourself extolling the virtues of the king.
Well, I am an honest broker in all this, Steve. You like to portray me as a rabid fan, which I once was, by the way. And, you know, in 1980 when I was racing out to the Nassau Coliseum on a nightly basis during the Stanley Cup playoffs. But once we got into the world of the business, so to speak, of journalism and broadcasting, you know, you watch the game and you try to be an honest broker for the fans.
And I love having this kind of fun with you, and you know that.
I know you do.
But let me ask you before I ask you about Lafreniere, of course, what about the process that got the Rangers to where they were in position to get that number one pick? We know of the 16 qualifying teams, the 8 losers were going to have a chance to get that number one pick, and the Rangers got it. The whole process seemed to be somewhat surreal. How was that? What was your take on that particular process where among the 8 losers from the qualifying round, each of the losers would have, what was it, a 12.5% chance of getting the number one pick, where normally with their so-called regular season record, they would not have had been anywhere close to having the number one pick. So what do you think of the process to begin with that the NHL came up with that allowed the Rangers to get that number one pick?
Well, the first thing I would say is that it was all agreed on by the teams and the league. So the way it played out was the way it played out, and the Rangers won that pick fair and square. I mean, that was just the rules. Now, for me, when I think about it, the league has done, in my mind, just an incredible job of getting us to where we are here in the second round of the playoffs with these teams in the bubbles, and they've had to make so many hard decisions, and the world is changing, as you know, almost by the hour at this point when it comes to the different things that are going on. So I think the league has made a number of wonderful decisions. I think this particular one, I think if they had a do-over, they might do it a little differently. I think they could have done it one of two ways. They could have just said, okay, the teams that are not in the qualifying round at all, I think it was the 7 teams that weren't involved, maybe it would be a 7-team lottery and one of those teams would be first. If they wanted to open it up, maybe you just wait and have one lottery when you knew who all the teams were, and then you do one lottery instead of doing this lottery where you have team E wins, because then there was, you know, there was almost a somewhat of an incentive to lose at some point. Not that the players would, but it just seemed unnecessary. And so for me, I think what they were trying to do with that first lottery was to create a little attention. Remember, we hadn't played in several months, and they had seen the NFL draft and got a lot of attention. And I think they were trying to get some attention, you know, for the game. But I think in the end, it wasn't worth the attention that they got, which wasn't actually that much. So, you know, for me, I would have done it differently. But the bottom line is they all agreed to it. And the Rangers won fair and square, and there have been other years. You go back to the Sidney Crosby draft when the Rangers, I thought, deserved a much better fate than to draft 15th or 16th based on that lottery, and things didn't go so well. So good for the Rangers, good for the organization, good for their fans, and Lafreniere is a terrific, terrific talent, and it'll be fun to get to watch him in this area.
What can you tell us about him?
Dynamic player, good size, strong, a winger. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a, you know, you'd love it if he was a big centerman or, you know, a defenseman that had that, you know, the elite defenseman, because those are positions that the Rangers could use that type of player. They have Panarin and they have a number of other good wingers on their team already. But that said, this kid is a dynamic, dynamic player. I got to see him at the World Junior Championships for Canada, helped them to a gold medal. He got injured in the round robin portion of that tournament, Steve, and it didn't look good when he left the ice. I mean, it was one of those injuries where you were like, oh, this is, you felt so bad because he's a talented young guy, and you were worried that this could be a career issue. And he came back, and a couple games later, he got back out there and he was terrific, and he, you know, helped Canada win that gold medal. So, dynamic player, terrific offensive player, good size, funny, he'll be fun to watch. He could score goals, but also a terrific playmaker. And, you know, he'll be a guy that'll be a fan favorite and a big deal for the Rangers for years to come. So he'll be a great player.
Do you think he can make an impact right away? We know he's only 18.
Well, he's a late birthday, so that's a positive right away, because, like, he's, you know, born after September 15th, I think, is the cutoff date for that. So he goes into the following year's draft. And now this year, right, we're not even doing a draft until October. Who knows when we're going to play again, maybe December, maybe January. He has an extra couple of months there. He's already a big, strong guy. So I think he can have some impact. You know, I think depending upon who they play him with, how things unfold, I mean, I think he's a guy that could put up 20 goals in a rookie season and, you know, and maybe 60 points if things go well. He's had the ability to do it at other levels. And like I said, he is a little bit of an older player because he was a late birthday. So he gets into the 2020 draft class instead of the 2019 draft class. So I think he's someone that can come in and play and be a helpful player right away based on his size and his strength and what I've seen from him so far.
EJ, before I let you go, the bubble seems to work, not just with the NHL, but the NBA as well. Nobody is testing positive. We know what havoc and chaos has been going on with Major League Baseball, with the testing positive and with the postponements and the doubleheaders. Everything is upside down with the Major League Baseball. But we wonder about the NFL, and certainly within 6 degrees of separation, that is not how the NFL goes about its business on the field. But with the NBA and certainly with the NHL, the bubble seems to work, not just, as you pointed out earlier, with the concentration and with the teams, you know, playing without real fans and being away from home and really focusing and concentrating on their game and making it work like it is with the Islanders. The bottom line is nobody with the NBA and with the NHL testing positive. The bubble does work, at least as we speak right now.
Yeah, it has been working, and again, you got to give Phil Marks to the NHL and the NBA for the time and the effort and the money they're spending to make this work. I mean, you have to go to great lengths to create a bubble. It's not something that just exists on its own. So there's a lot of time and money and effort by the staffs of both the NHL and the NBA. And to this point, it has worked for them. Baseball, the fact that these teams are traveling from place to place, I mean, I think that right away you knew that was going to be challenging. And, you know, I think the NFL is, it's going to be interesting. I would have to think they're going to have some similar issues just because of the nature of things, but time will tell. And, you know, we will see. It seems like, again, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, the world seems to be changing on a daily basis. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure people who love watching the NFL hope that they were able to get their season going. And, you know, I hope so, too, because it provides a little bit of normalcy for people who love sports like we do.
EJ, I can't thank you enough for the time, as always. And yes, this
my
is
pleasure,
not.
Steve.
Well, really, our pleasure, and the audience, I'm too. I'm sure would concur.
And also, let me tell you, it is 4-1 Vancouver over Vegas in the third period.
Okay, a little bit of an update before our update, and
yes.
I'm gonna. And it's not often, if ever, that I will say to an Islander fan, "I wish," even though you, of course, supersede, you know, the fandom when you are doing your professional work. We all understand that. But I'm going to wish you personally good luck. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wish your team the best of luck for you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, EJ. Do take care of yourself and stay safe
too,
and sound
friend.
And healthy. You bet.
All right, you too. Take care.
Okay. EJ Raddick, just the best.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.